Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to all of you who are out in digital land watching our service. We pray that you're all doing well this morning and you're all holding up fine in the Lord's grace. It's a pleasure to be with you all this morning. Today is a very special day. As many of you are aware, I'm hopeful that you're aware, because today is that blessed Mother's Day, where we as a nation gather to honor our mothers, those ladies that have sacrificed so much in our lives, those mothers, those grandmothers, those great-grandmothers, and even some great-great-grandmothers, that we honor this special day called Mother's Day. I so much appreciate having the opportunity to come together this morning to address the mothers, the ladies of our church. I think it is good for us that, you know, at least once a year we honor our mothers. Amen? No, we should honor our mothers a lot more than once a year. And by the way, fathers will get a message when we get to Father's Day here as well. But I think it's a blessing to have the opportunity to address our mothers and the ladies of our church, to at least give them honor for what they have done. We are so thankful for the ladies of our church, for the mothers of our families, and especially for those mothers that walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to honor them, honor Him with their lives. We know that it is good that we would honor those who work hard for the Lord and honor the Lord in their lives. We know that Scripture is very clear. Scripture says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 very clearly says this. It's a blessing to honor our mothers, those who sacrifice so much for us, and we come to give them honor this morning. We also understand, however, that not any mother is a perfect mother. All mothers have failures in their lives. They all have struggles in their lives, some worse than others. But those who sacrifice and those who give so much to their families, to their husbands, and to their children, to them we honor this morning. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture this morning to kind of address the ladies of our church and how we can honor our mothers. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning, and we'll be looking at verses 10 through 31. I wanted to take some time this morning to remind our ladies of what it means to be an excellent mother. Bearing in mind there aren't any perfect mothers, Scripture does raise the bar very high for our ladies. This happens to be one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture when I think about coming to the Word of God for a Mother's Day sermon, when I think about addressing the ladies of our church, this is the verse that I always come to in my mind. There are many verses in Scripture that address the praise and the honor of those ladies who sacrifice so much for their families. But this is a passage of Scripture that I keep coming back to. These are words of wisdom for the ladies of our church. These are words of wisdom for any woman who would aspire to be an excellent wife and mother. And what I love about these verses that we come to this morning is that these words that we find in verses 10 through 31 are words that were written by a man, King Lemuel. If you'll look at verse 1, it was written by King Lemuel. But these words of wisdom are actually the teachings of his very own mother. I call your attention to verse 1 of Proverbs 31. Notice what it says. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, according to which his mother taught him." These are the words of a man, but that have come through a man's mother. words that she taught him, no doubt, when he was a very young man, all the way into his adulthood. These are words that she taught him of what to look for when it comes to looking for an excellent wife or mother. She taught her son these words of wisdom because she cared about her son, she loved her son, and she wanted him to find an excellent woman. She did not want him to waste his time on the wrong type of women. In fact, if you move to verse 2 through 3 of Proverbs 31, we see this. Notice what she says. She says, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings." These are words of wisdom given from a mother to a king to protect himself from wasting his energy on the wrong type of women. She did not want him to make foolish decisions with women. No, she wanted him to be wise. She wanted him to find an excellent woman. She wanted him to look hard to find a virtuous woman. Jump down to verse 10. We see as the start of our proverb. Notice what it says. It says, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels." King Lemuel's mother wanted him, as any respecting mother would want, she wanted him to be patient, to look for a woman of virtue, to look for a woman of strength and character. Rather than giving his strength to the wrong type of woman, in verse 3, she wanted him to find a woman of strength, that if he found that woman of strength, she would add strength to his very life. This was the type of woman that King Lemuel's mother wanted him to find, one that would bring blessings and honor to his life, not difficulty, pain, and suffering. Which, by the way, is what we learn from this chiastic structure that we find in these verses here. Something that I love about Hebrew poetry is Hebrew poetry, as we find in the Proverbs, was also oftentimes written with literary devices. And in Hebrew poetry, they had this literary device called the chiasmus. A chiasm, as they would call it, was known as taking your poetry and writing it in such a way that it would focus in on one central point of the passage. A chiasm would emphasize, basically, the first verse would highlight the last verse, and the second verse would highlight the second to the last verse, and it would slowly come in and in and in till it would focus on a focal point, the main point of the passage. And that is what this literary structure is all about. His mother wanted him to find a woman of strength so that it would bring strength and honor to his wife. And we know that because of the chiasmic structure. And that points to verse 23. This is literally the point of the main passage. Notice what it says, verse 23. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." This woman that the mother of King Lemuel wants him to find is the type of woman who brings strength and honor to her son's life. And that is the main point of this chiasmic structure of Proverbs 31, showing us that beside every good man is a great woman. That literally is how we could understand it. And notice I said, beside every man is a great woman. I did not say that she is behind her man, and I didn't say that she's in front of her man. No, she is beside her man as a helpmate. This is the type of woman that King Lemuel wants her son to find. And so the point of this proverb is that a man who finds an excellent wife, an excellent mother, is a man who finds great honor in his life. A man who finds an excellent wife is a man who adds blessing to his life. A man who finds a virtuous wife is a man who adds virtue to his life. A man who finds honor in his life most certainly has an honorable wife in his life. And that is the point of the passage. And so, beloved, this is the wisdom of a mother toward her son, which means it is not coming from a male perspective. This is not a chauvinistic passage. In fact, it is far from it. As you go through this Proverbs, you know, Scripture in the New Testament talks about wives submitting to their husbands. And there's all those commands in the New Testament that talks about a wife submitting to her husband. But when you look at Proverbs 31, and as it unfolds what that looks like, this is not a woman who is oppressed. This is a virtuous woman who has much freedom, love, and joy in her life as she serves the Lord by serving her husband and her family. This is not written by a chauvinistic perspective. This is written from a woman's perspective. This is a woman's wisdom recorded in the pages of Scripture, so that any of us, anyone throughout the generations, could read these verses and learn what a virtuous woman looks like. A woman of honor, integrity. This is the pattern of a virtuous woman. In fact, this proverb was not only written in a chiastic structure, if you will, it was also written as an acrostic in Hebrew. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of the lines, the verses, starts with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So that this proverb, if you will, of what a virtuous woman looks like could literally be easily remembered or easily memorized in Hebrew. It would be kind of an A through Z instruction manual for all women to turn to of what it means to be a virtuous woman. Ladies, do you want to be an excellent wife? Do you want to be a virtuous woman? Well, this passage is for you. This passage has been given to all ladies of all time, whether married or single. This passage has been given to help you understand what it means to be an excellent wife and mother, the excellent virtuous woman that God has called you to in your life. I would also add that not only is this passage written for all the ladies of the church and all ladies that would aspire for excellence in their lives, this is also a passage that has been given to the men of our church, both single and married men. To our single men, do you long to marry an excellent wife, a virtuous woman? Well, then you have to search for her like precious rubies. They're hard to find, but they're out there. You have to look hard for them. And this passage of Scripture helps you understand what that looks like, what that virtuous woman is. In other words, you don't need to turn to the world to find your understanding of what a woman to marry would look like. You don't need to turn to Hollyweird to find out what a wife would look like. You turn to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, to find out what that virtuous woman looks like and is. To our married men, to those who are already married, do you want your wife to be an excellent wife? Well, this passage is a passage for you as well, because this passage even helps you learn how you can pray for your wife and encourage your wife in her pursuit of being this virtuous woman. If you read these verses, you quickly learn this was not an oppressive husband that this wife was under. This was a godly man that she was under, and she was lovingly desiring to serve her husband. This is a passage for our married men to pray for their wives in these areas of their lives. And this is a passage for the husbands of our church so that they can encourage their wives as they seek to emulate these virtues in this proverb. Encourage your wife as you see these virtues popping up in her life. Not perfectly, not with perfection, but as you see them, opportunity arises to give her honor. Like it says in verse 28, jump down to verse 28 of Proverbs 31. It says that her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You give honor to whom honor is due. So what are the key characteristics that we find in our passage this morning of what a virtuous woman looks like? Well, I'd have to say there's basically three key characteristics of what a virtuous woman looks like. And the first one that we come across this morning is we come across an excellent woman or an excellent wife is someone who is first and foremost committed to her husband. She's committed to her marriage relationship. Notice verses 11 through 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I want you to notice how committed this woman is to her husband. Notice what it says. She does her husband good, notice, all the days of her life. She's committed. She's committed to her husband with all her heart. She's an excellent wife because she seeks to love and serve her husband. And her husband is her priority of life. Her husband is the priority of her relationships. Notice how this is the first principle that we come to in this proverb this morning. She is seeking to serve and love her husband all the days of her life. Interesting to think that King Lemuel's mother would put this at the first part of this proverb. This is not coincidental. It is very purposeful and biblical that an excellent wife be first committed to her husband. This does not mean that she isn't committed to her children. It doesn't mean that she's not committed to others in her life, her church, and other family members. She is, most certainly. The proverb actually shows us this. But what we see here, the priority of her heart is her husband. And oh, beloved, what an important principle this is for us to be reminded of, because it is something that we often can struggle with. It is so easy for us in this life to get our priorities a little bit messed up. It's very easy to prioritize relationships above other relationships when we don't or we shouldn't be doing that. It's easy for us to focus our heart in the wrong places of our lives. It's easy for a woman to put her children above her husband. It's easy for a woman to put her mother or her father above her husband. It's easy for a woman to maybe put her friends above her husband or her church friends above her husband. It might be easy for a woman to even put her career or her co-workers above her husband. It's easy for us and for ladies to put anything above her husband, but this is not what the excellent wife does. The excellent woman has her priorities in the right place. At the center of her priorities is her husband. He is not above the Lord. He's not more important than the Lord, but of all the relationships on this planet, he takes first place. And the reason for this is because this is a woman who understands her covenant relationship with God to her husband. She realizes that this relationship that she is in with her husband has been literally created and ordained by God himself, and this is the priority of relationships. God had brought the woman to Adam, if you read in Genesis chapter 2. And this woman understands, the excellent wife understands, that God has brought her to this man to love this man. marriage, the marriage relationship, should be number one of all relationships. It's not the children. The children leave the home. The children are to be raised up to leave the home and to get married and leave and cleave and weave their lives around their spouse as well. It's not our families, our relatives that take the priority. No, this is the priority of relationship. It is the marriage relationship. I call your attention to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Just listen. It says this, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.'" This is after God had created Eve. "She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason," listen, "a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The priority of relationship is between the husband and the wife. The first family on the face of the planet was the husband and the wife relationship. The children didn't come until Genesis chapter 4. They came after all of this. The first relationship, the priority of relationship, was between the man and the woman. You know, when Jesus was approached by the Jews when they confronted him on divorce, Jesus quoted this verse, Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 through 24, and then he added this authoritative stamp. He said, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." No one, no person was to come between the marriage relationship. It is the priority relationship because God has joined it together. And evidently, what we see from this excellent wife is this was her priority. Her marriage relationship to her husband was her priority. She understood that her marriage was literally the work of God in her life. God was the one who gave her to her husband. God was the one who created her to be her husband's companion. She was created to be a suitable helper for him, to help him accomplish the plan that God had set for him to do. She understood her God-given, God-ordained, privileged role. I remind you of Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Just listen to this. After God had told Adam to name all the animals and he got done and realized that he was all alone, it said this, "But for Adam, there was not found a suitable helper for him." She was to be a suitable helper to help him accomplish the God-given role that God had given Adam, and she was to come alongside and help him, and they were to be a team to fulfill God's plan for their lives as one flesh. It says that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. I love that. I love what Matthew Henry says about that little passage of how God created the woman. He said, "The woman was formed out of man, not out of his head to rule over him, not out of his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be his equal. From beneath his arm to be protected, and from near his heart to be loved." What a great perspective of this God-given relationship between a man and a woman. And I might add to this that we have to remember that this relationship existed before the fall entered into the relationship. This was God's created ordinance. This was what he had planned. An excellent wife understands this. An excellent wife understands the privilege that she has been given by God. She understands that her role was instituted by the Lord himself, and this is not a burden. This is a blessing to her. She understands that being a helpmate, being a companion, is an ordained work of God. It is a good thing to which she is set on and God has ordained in her life. And this is exactly what we see her doing in verses 11 through 12. She has set about to be a helpmate, a companion to her husband. Notice what it says, verse 12 of Proverbs 31. It says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's doing him good. She's seeking to serve him, be a blessing to him all the days of her life, doing good. She's committed. She's all in. Her whole heart is committed all the days of her life. This is the excellent woman. This is the excellent wife. And notice the results that come from such commitment. Notice what it says in verse 11, that the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Notice that present tense verb. He's constantly trusting in her. He trusts his wife because of her character. Her character commands the trust. He has no reason to distrust his wife. She has not given him reason to distrust her. He trusts in her because she is trustworthy. And his heart trusts in her in great confidence. He trusts her with the secret and valuable things of his life. He's not afraid to share things with his wife. He trusts her because she's trustworthy with her tongue. She's not someone who slanders or gossips. She can keep a secret. She doesn't slander people or speak poorly of people. And most certainly she doesn't speak poorly of her husband. She's not sharing her husband's sin with all kinds of other ladies in a gossiping format. No, she honors her husband. She lifts him up. Not only is she trustworthy with her tongue, but she's trustworthy with the finances and the spending of the home, as we will see later in the proverb. But this is a woman who is frugal and wise with the resources of the home, and she is trustworthy with the finances. And because of this, he's not afraid to entrust her to the care of the finances and the home. She's also trustworthy, most certainly, in the raising of the children. She is diligent in her care of the home. He has no reason to doubt her. She is an integrous, virtuous woman. Beloved, this is such an important principle for us to be reminded of. For any aspiring Proverbs 31 woman, do you want to be an excellent wife? Then how devoted are you to your husband? Does he have your heart above all other relationships? Are you fully committed to loving him in all areas of your life? Are you committed to loving him when he is unlovable and when he is also lovable? Are you willing to put him first out of love for Christ and for his good? I know there's probably a plethora of questions that might be raised up in the mind. What about if I'm married to an unbelieving husband? And what if I've got an unbelieving husband who's ungodly? Or what are all the different scenarios? You know, my goal is not to address those. My goal is just to think through what the virtuous woman is like. You know, Christ would want the virtuous woman, as well as all believers, to love and give their lives for those to whom we're to love. And Jesus is the model example. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. This is the virtuous woman. And no doubt she is serving a godly man. That is the first character, beloved, that we come to in our passage of Proverbs, that the character trait of an excellent wife is first committed to her husband. The second characteristic trait of an excellent wife is she cares for her home. Look at verse 27 with me. Notice what it says. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is what I would consider a summary statement of the excellent woman's commitment toward her home. Notice what it says. She looks well to the ways of her whole household. In other words, she's like a watchman, intently looking after her home. She understands the importance of her home, and she diligently and delightfully looks after it with all of her heart. Oh, how unfortunate it is in our culture, beloved, in the culture of our times, and how the culture has diminished, demeaned, and even disdained women who make their home their priority of their workplace. The culture is constantly putting women down who do this. The culture sees the home as a sort of a prison cell for a woman. The culture sees the home as oppressive and demeaning. A woman whose heart is in her home is seen as a woman who is just a simple-minded woman and not very intellectual. And she's not living up to her intellectual potential and her financial potential in the workforce and in the career aspect of life. The culture sees the home as an easy thing for women to do, like it isn't a job, or like it isn't work, or doesn't require work. Oh, how unfortunate of a perspective this is to have of the virtuous woman who makes her home her heart. According to Scripture, the home is the place of honor. This is the sphere in which the Lord blesses a home. Notice I said a home, not a house. A house is a thing that we dwell in. A home is a different situation. A home involves the people. It involves the care of those people. The blessings that come from an excellent wife come from a wife who makes her home her heart. An excellent woman sees the home as a safe haven for her husband and for her children. It becomes a sanctuary, a place of respite from this hostile world. And so she makes her home her primary place of work. She values the home and the good of the home. This is her priority. The home is where her heart is. And we even see this in the delight in her work in the home. Notice what it says in verse 13. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands, notice, in delight. You see, the virtuous woman is someone who delights to do her work through and in the home and for her home. It is the joy of her heart. She does not see it as oppressive and burdensome. No, this is the delight of her heart. She does not despise her work. She delights in her work. She loves what God has put her on and what she is doing. It's not a burden for her to be in the home. It's not a burden for her to do even the menial tasks of the home, because she knows that her work brings good to the home and glorifies God. What makes this such an incredible statement about the virtuous woman, beloved, is first of all, I remind you, these are the words of a woman, but I also remind you from the text, this is the virtuous woman who has the ability and the means to not work, and yet she does. Look at verse 15 of Proverbs 31. It says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household, and notice, and portions to her maidens. You see, this is a woman who had wealth. This is a family who had wealth. She didn't have to work. She had maidens. She could have sat around and let them serve her, but that was not her heart. She was actively working, and she was seeking to serve even her maidens. We know that she was wealthy because we see in verse 22 the coverings that she makes for herself. She clothes herself in fine linen and purple. This was a household of wealth. She was a woman of wealth. Her husband evidently had money, and she had contributed to that wealth, as we will see shortly. But she didn't have to work, but she chose to work because this was the delight of her heart, her home. She delighted in the work of the home. And we even see this of her work itself. Look at verse 13. She looks for wool and flax. In other words, she gathered materials for making clothes for her family. Verse 19, notice what it says. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. The distaff and the spindle would be those tools that she would use for spinning thread, for making yarn so that she could make clothing. This was what she delighted in doing in her home. And she also delighted in preparing food for her family. She was actively involved in the cooking and the preparation of meals for her family. Look at verse 14 of Proverbs 31. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You want to know what the Hebrew translation is for that? That's, she goes to Costco and Sam's Club and gets a deal on some food for her family. No, I'm just kidding. What it really means is it means that she delights in making good food for her family. You see, back then they had to travel great distances to get food that was different from the norm of food. She would travel afar to get a different meal. She would go places to find the different types of food that she could cook for her family. Food that was transported on ships was a different type of food. It would be a cultured food, so to speak. This is a woman who delights in the tasks of her home, in the making of clothing, in the cooking for her family, in the preparation of food for her family. And notice her schedule. Notice she is even willing to rise early to do this. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She would not do this if she didn't delight in her work. This is something that she loved to do. She was up early before the sun had come up. I'm not saying to the ladies, you need to get up before the sunrise. That's not the point here. The point is, do you delight in your work? Do you delight in the work of the home? Not only does she delight in the work of her home, but she is also, beloved, diligent in the work of her home. We see this in verse 15. Notice what it says. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. She's up before the sunrise, but then she also goes to bed late. Verse 18. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. This is a woman who is very active in her home. She delights in her work. She's diligent in her work. She's a hard-working woman. She is not a lazy woman. She's not just sitting around eating bonbons and watching soap operas. She is a hard-working woman. And by the way, if you're going to do the work to the glory of the Lord in your home as a lady, it's going to require hard work. Hard work. We even know it's hard work because look at verse 17. It literally says it makes her strong. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She's a strong woman because it's hard work. That little phrase, she girds herself with strength. It literally means she ties up her robe around her. She ties her robe up around her so that it won't hinder her from doing her work. She doesn't want anything getting in the way, preventing her from getting her tasks done, from working hard on what she's doing in the home. This is a hard working woman. And by the way, this is such a great lesson for the ladies of our church, because there are things that can easily come into the home or come into your life that can hinder you from doing the work that God has set you about. You see, a virtuous woman doesn't want to let anything come in and hinder the care and the caretaking and love of the home. The home is the priority. Ladies, you must be careful about this. Are you easily distracted off of the primary care and duties of the home? Television, your phone, texting others, friends, whatever it may be that would come in and hinder you from doing the duties that God has set before you in the home. Be careful, ladies, that things aren't hindering you from anything that would keep you from doing those tasks. You should be hard working in the home. Notice this is a woman who is constantly busy in the home for the good of the home, too. Look at verse 27. I love this. She looks well to the ways of her household, and notice this, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Just a punctuation mark there of this diligent, hardworking, virtuous woman. This is a lady who has very little idle time. And by the way, that's why the culture is so wrong on a woman who works in the home, through the home, and out of the home. If she's doing that to the glory of God, she will be very busy. And that's because she cares about the home, and she's preparing for the future of her home. Look down at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. See, back in those days, unlike what we have today, we have a semblance of this, but back in those days, it was vital that you prepared for the winter to come. And this was a woman who was looking to the future and diligently planning and preparing for the future that was to come. This woman worked hard to get her household ready for the future difficult times ahead. And there's another thing I want you to notice about how this heart of this virtuous woman is toward the care of her home. She delights in the work of the home. She's diligent in the work of the home. I want you to also know she's discreet with the resources of the home. In other words, she's wise with the resources of her home. We see this in verse 16. Notice what it says. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This is a very resourceful, wise, virtuous woman. She buys a field and plants a vineyard. And how does she do this? She does it from her earnings. That means that she's working. She's working through the home for the good of the home. And what are these earnings? Well, we see it in verse 24. We see how she gets some of these earnings. In verse 24, notice what it says. It says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This is an entrepreneurial type of woman. She is wise with her resources, and she's always looking at her resources as how she could use them to better her home. She's not using her resources to necessarily upgrade her lifestyle or make her life more easy or to have greater toys to play with or have more material pleasures in life. Her resources are ultimately for the good of her home. And not only are they for the good of the home, but they're for the good of the less fortunate. Notice verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. This gives us a window into this virtuous woman's heart. This is a woman who is compassionate, resourceful. She is wise with her resources, and she's compassionate with them because she not only uses her resources for the betterment of her home, but she does it for the betterment of the less unfortunate, for the less fortunate. The Proverbs are full of wisdom statements of giving to the poor. This is a woman with great wisdom because she gives to the poor. She's a woman of excellence, and she's working not just for herself. She's working for the good of others and even people outside of the home. Makes me think of this wonderful, virtuous lady that I've had the privilege of knowing for quite some time. This is a lady that I know in her 80s that I believe she's still doing this. She's worked in a company part-time for literally over 30 years of her life, and she's worked in that company all for the sake of bettering her home and the good of others. She would literally work this part-time job, and they've had opportunities to give to others, and they didn't need necessarily the money, but she worked so that she could give that money away. And I've been the recipient of those blessings many times. It is really an awesome thing to see, and that is exactly what we're seeing here with the Proverbs 31 woman. Ladies, is this the pattern of excellence in your life? Are you committed to your husband? Are you caring for your home? Are you caring for the good of your home and for the good of others? There's a third characteristic that we see in this excellent, virtuous woman. She's committed to her husband. She cares for her home. And lastly, she clothes herself in holiness. An excellent wife and virtuous woman is someone who is literally clothed in godliness and holiness. And this, beloved, has to probably be the most important principle of the whole proverb. And it comes towards the end of our proverb. Do you want to be an excellent wife? Do you want to be a virtuous woman? Then pursue the Lord himself. This is a woman who understands the virtues of being a godly woman. She understands the value of being a godly woman. And we see this in verse 30. Notice what it says. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, the virtuous woman understands her priorities. She understands that charm is deceptive. In other words, charm fools people. There are many charming people in the world, and there are many charming ladies in the world, but that can be used as a deception. And beauty is vain. Beauty is literally a vapor or a breath. It's perishable. In other words, it's here and then it's gone. Aging has a way of taking away that beauty. And if you doubt this, by the way, just take some time to look at some before and now pictures of some of the celebrities that they highlighted as the most beautiful people in the world. If you look at them 50 years later, you see that aging has an effect on beauty. Beauty is vain. In other words, what you get, what you see is not always what you get. I always think of Proverbs 11, verse 22, when it speaks of the beautiful woman without character. It says this, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Just because a woman is beautiful on the outside doesn't make her beautiful on the inside. Be careful of that one, especially single men, when you're looking for a wife. Watch out for that one. She may be beautiful on the outside, but is she more beautiful on the inside? Matthew Henry had a great quote about that as well. He said this, there may be an impure, deformed soul lodged in a beautiful body. And that is exactly what Proverbs 11, verse 22 is saying. And that is what this virtuous woman understands. She understands that beauty is vain and charm is deceitful. That doesn't mean that this excellent wife doesn't care about how she looks. No doubt she does. We see this in verse 22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes for herself fine linen and purple clothing. That speaks of a woman who is going to great tasks to try and beautify the things of her home and even for herself. Purple clothing would have been an expensive type of garment because the dye was from the secretion of a mollusk in the Mediterranean Sea. They would take that dye and they would dye the fabric purple. Speaks of having some wealth, but this is a woman. It also speaks that this is a woman who cares about how she looks. It's not that she just lets herself go. She doesn't just let herself go and not keep herself kept and her family kept and her house clean. No, she cares about these things, but she has her priorities straight about the importance of those things. Looking good on the outside is important, but her greatest priority is how she is on the inside. What matters is her heart. People, right, look at the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that is what is at the heart of this virtuous woman's desire. She cares about her heart. Verse 30, notice what it says. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. This is what matters to the excellent wife. It is how she lives her life before the Lord that matters to this woman. Do you want to be an excellent wife, ladies? Do you want to be a virtuous woman? Then this is truly where you should begin your heart and your life. You should begin with the fear of the Lord. Begin by establishing a relationship with the Lord. Repent of your sin and trust in God and His Word. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Let the Lord fill your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and establish the fear of the Lord. When I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, and when this is talking about the fear of the Lord, this is not a woman who's afraid of the Lord. This is a woman who reverentially respects, trusts, and loves the Lord in her life for who He is and what He has done for her. This is a woman who has a right relationship with the Lord Himself, God, Yahweh, the one who rules over all. She has a relationship with the God of glory. The Proverbs is full of verses that speak of wisdom coming from the fear of the Lord. This woman fears the Lord, and so she is a wise woman, and that is what this king's mother wanted her son to find, and no doubt, that is probably no doubt how his own mother was. She feared the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is how you acquire knowledge for right living. The fear of the Lord is how you apply that knowledge through wise living. The fear of the Lord is what brings confidence in life. Proverbs 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Do you see the confidence that just drips off the pages of this virtuous woman? It's because she fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what prolongs life. Proverbs 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord is what produces holiness in life. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 16, 6, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The fear of the Lord is what brings honor and blessing in life. Proverbs 22, verse 4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Do we not see that with this virtuous woman? This is what made the difference in her life. This is what it was. It was her fear of the Lord that brought her honor and life. It was her fear of the Lord that brought honor to her husband and her home. Her fear of the Lord is the reason for it all. Her love for God, this is what made her a virtuous woman. She literally was clothed in the fear of the Lord, and this is what brought the virtues in her life. Her fear of the Lord is why she was clothed in faithfulness. Proverbs 31, verse 12. Her fear of the Lord is why she was clothed in the virtue of joy. Proverbs 31, verse 13. Her fear of the Lord is why she was clothed in the virtue of love, verse 27 of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 20. Her fear of the Lord is why she had hope in the future, Proverbs 31, verse 21. In fact, look at that verse. I love that verse. Notice what it says. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 25, jump down to that one. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. This is the fear of the Lord that results in faith, hope, love in this woman's life. Her fear of the Lord is why she was clothed in all these virtues, the virtues of wisdom, the virtues of kindness. Notice verse 26 of Proverbs 31. It says this, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is a woman who fears the Lord, and it trickles out in her tongue and her thinking. She is wise and kind. What a great combination, by the way, to have wisdom and kindness as a package. This is what I would call truth wrapped in grace. This is a woman who had self-control, and it was proven by her conduct. And this is the woman of virtue, the woman of excellence. This is what makes her strong. If you find a woman like this, to our single men, you are blessed. If you have a woman like this, you are blessed. If you are a woman pursuing this, you will be blessed. This is the excellent wife, a wife committed to her husband, concerned about her home, and clothed in holiness. And when those three are in place and they're flowing not in perfection but in direction of life, then guess what you can do? You can rise up and commend her. Proverbs verse 29 through 31. Notice what it says. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Notice what happens to a woman like this. This is a woman who's commended. This is a woman who's commended by her children, by her husband, and by others. Notice, give her the product of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. This is a woman who deserves to be commended for all her diligence to her family and her home. What a great reminder for us, beloved. What a great reminder for us on what true motherhood looks like. This is the virtuous woman who's commendable to others. And today on Mother's Day, we give thanks for all the mothers that emulate the aspects of this proverb. For those wives and mothers who are first and foremost God-fearing. They fear the Lord. They love the Lord. These are the ones who excel them all. There are many women, many mothers who do great things, but it's the one who fears the Lord that we commend. This is the woman of excellence. Do you know a wife or a mother who is committed to her husband? Then give her praise. Do you know a wife or a mother who cares for her home? Then give her praise. Do you know a wife or mother who fears the Lord? Then give her praise. Proverbs 19 verse 14 says this, house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. She's a blessing. If you're here this morning, and you're watching us, and maybe you're a lady that's sitting out there and you say, you know, I don't fear the Lord. I'm not walking with the Lord. I don't have a relationship with Him. I would pray that you would turn to the Lord right now and be saved. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and give Him your heart and life, and let the Lord go to work in your life to create in you these virtues and this virtuous woman. If you're watching and you're one of our blessed mothers that knows the Lord and fears the Lord, we want to thank you for your service to Christ. If maybe you're looking at this proverb and you're saying, boy, I fail in so many aspects. I fail miserably. I do not live up to this standard. Then once again, I turn you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is gracious and compassionate with His people. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, He forgives you of all your sin, and He promises to bring you to glory, and He promises to sanctify you and make you know Him and love Him and grow in godliness. We give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you desire to follow Him, I pray you would do that. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for this passage of Scripture this morning. Lord, we do know that your word is a perfect standard. It is one that we all fail to live up to, which is why we need a Savior. For all of the ladies that would be watching this service that know their failures, I pray they would look to you for grace, forgiveness and grace to live out your word. Grant them a heart to want to be the virtuous woman. And grant them the grace to be the virtuous woman. For all of the husbands married to their wives, I pray you would use them to encourage their wives, to love them, to praise them for the areas of being this virtuous woman, and to encourage them all the more as they seek to honor you in their lives. Lord God, we pray for any of the single men that might be watching this sermon. We pray for them. I pray that you would give them wisdom to identify and look for the Proverbs 31 woman. Not perfectly, but directly, direction towards you, Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you a quick little benediction out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 through 17, and it says this: Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal hope, eternal comfort and good hope by grace, may he comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Thank you for tuning in. God bless.